Dave Fanning on 2FM.
And it is coming up to 26 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. At Dave Fanning Show is our address. 51552 is the text number. And we're looking at something here now that I wouldn't mind if you got involved and told us ones that we don't know about. Because the live album, it's long been a subject of contention amongst music fans and critics. They're never properly live. You can't beat being there. They're just a money-grabbing exercise. All these are accusations basically levelled at them all the time, and none are entirely inaccurate. But often in live albums, there are elements of the gig that are included in the recording that seemed like a good idea at the time, but invariably don't stand the test of that time. Owen Sweeney has taken it upon himself to look back at some live albums, and he's chosen some of the more amusing pieces from kind of past live recordings. I presume they're amusing anyway, mainly for his own amusement, so hopefully yours. Basically, Owen, the question would be, is the main message, be careful what you say on stage.
Yeah, morning, Dave. Be careful what you say on stage.
Yeah, good morning.
Thanks, Dave. And if you do, maybe don't record it. And if you do record it and you're thinking about releasing a live album, maybe cut it out. Because what seemed, as you said in your intro there, like a good idea at the time, pales significantly on replaying, particularly if it's a long thing and particularly if it's clunky. There are loads of bits. Now, I have hundreds of live albums in front of me, but we sifted through them all, Dave, for your amusement.
Yeah,
hopefully.
And they're all there in vinyl.
Well, fantastic. There's a lot here on records. Yeah. Including this one by the Rolling Stones, which we'll get to presently. But yes, there are loads of bits. Now, I left out the sweary bits because obviously the time of day. I left out the rude bits because the time of day. And there are plenty of dated jokes, hopefully, here. The sing-along parts as well is kind of a bane. You're not a fan of live albums, I take it.
I'm not a massive fan of live albums.
Yeah,
no, I mean, I like the studio albums. Saying, well, this is something like, say, Neil Young has been in the studio for the last 18 months. Well, God, Neil Young brings out an album every month. But like, you know, this is what he's done. I like the work of it. And the live album, I wasn't there, or I have been there or whatever. And no, I don't really like live albums.
Yeah, the thing is, the live album, particularly on record, DVD makes more sense because you can see it, I suppose. And if you've got a good sound system, it's all good. But the live record, if you're not there, you feel that bit more removed. And unless you were at the gig itself, it's kind of pointless. And it's just a money grabbing exercise, as you say. But will we start with the Stones?
Well, let's show. I'll tell you, we'll give an example. What we're talking about here is stuff that's said on live albums. The people even know, like, for instance, like, I know the people out there who know every single thing ever said at Woodstock because they've heard the triple album and then the other triple album and all the rest. But I'll give you this. What are we starting with here?
Let's start with Mick Jagger.
This one, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest rock and roll band in the world. Is that
now,
it?
This is the end of Jumping Jack Flash, was the first track on Get Your Yayas Out, which was 1969, I believe. And this is Mick's first utterances on stage. And probably, again, take our theme for the morning. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but now it just kind of, it's a bit creepy, really, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Thank you kindly. I think I busted a button on my trousers. Hope they don't fall down. You don't want my trousers to fall down now, do you?
Most certainly do not, Mick. Most certainly do not. Neither does the Queen, who gave me a knighthood.
All right, so that's what we're talking about.
What I love about that is obviously there's a load of lads in the audience as well. They're going, no, we wouldn't. No, we would not at all. Right. So Mick Jagger again, can we do another quick one from that album? Because the other thing about these clips, Dave, because they're kind of so treasured and people obviously couldn't go and see the Stones, particularly, say, in Ireland at the time, maybe because they played here, 65, and that was it. They treasured these. They used to sit around, they'd play them, and they know all the banter, the stage banter, and then it becomes kind of colloquialisms or enters the vernacular. And this one in particular is one of the things that has been most quoted of Mick Jagger's utterances, I would say.
I know this. Charlie's good tonight, isn't he?
Yeah, and it just sounds a little sneering, a little patronising. But anyway, you may as well play it. But it's kind of, it's something that any Stones fan will reel off happily for you.
All right.
Well, all right. Charlie's good tonight, isn't he?
It's off. It's whatever. It is what it is.
And yeah, but it's
all part of the package.
Which thankfully we didn't see because his trousers didn't fall down.
Let's move on now. I think people know what we're talking about now at this stage. If you've got any of your favourites in terms of stuff that do be after being on live albums, 51552, because I'm sure we'll forget a few. Go on.
Yeah, now this is a good one. I like this one because we were talking about banter, and this is, and the other thing with the 60s one is you could hear the audience members because there were smaller venues and their mics were kind of closer to the stage or different sounding, I suppose. They weren't kind of the big room mics that they have now. So what you hear in this one, this is Jim Morrison of The Doors, obviously. This is the end of Roadhouse Blues, famous live recording, which everyone has. I suppose it's always used on greatest hits albums, but they tend to fade out this bit, which is the bit that happened immediately after the song, where he goes into a bit of a riff as he did. And actually, he sounds sober in this one, which is unusual for him, about horoscopes. And
it's not about his package.
No, thankfully it's not, Dave. No, okay. Let's move on from that theme. And so he's talking about horoscopes, and there's a bit of banter and call and response with the lady in the front row, and she just completely outs herself. Firstly, she loves horoscopes, and then she disavows her previous opinion.
Okay, so Jim Morrison, The Doors, horoscope is what you're calling
this
it.
This is funny, though.
All right. Hey, listen, man. I don't know how many of you people believe in astrology. Yeah, that's right, baby. I am a Sagittarius. The most philosophical of all the signs. But anyway, I don't believe in it.
I love
it.
So am I.
And she's about to say, I read my heart. It's always faded out. It's always cut out, which is probably for a good thing. But it's actually good. It's on American Prayer, so it is there. Brilliant. It does exist. But she's like, I don't either. Hang on, you did a second ago. You were about to tell me you read your horoscope. So that amused me greatly. You won't get that now because everyone's playing in Normo domes and massive fields, and it's all cut out and it's all sanitized and everything like that. So there you are. That's that. We a bit of Christy Moore, maybe.
Yeah, let's take it home.
Yeah, let's take it home to the point. This is Christy. Now, there's a little bit of a preamble story here, which you can tee up there. This is the Knock song. What this happens is, I put this in the audience participation category as well. This is where it goes wrong. Now, Christy has a bit of a reputation, does he not, for being a little like Van, perhaps, a little bit of a perfectionist and maybe a little grumpy. Not necessarily saying that that's absolutely true all the time, but the audience get in here, they start to clap along, and they kind of break his concentration, and he tells them what for, perhaps in a humorous way, but he also uses a reference that seemed contemporary at the time.
School, and they took a shortcut across the fields, and just the Blessed Virgin appeared to them. And I said to Jerry, it's a good job she didn't appear in the next field, because it's full of rocks. Oh, she knew what she was doing, all right, I tell you. At the early age of 38, my mother said, go west. I spent 2 days writing this song, number Jez, I would ever listen to it. Not shagging Dire Straits you have here, you know.
Did he just diss Dire Straits?
He did, and the audience. And using Dire Straits is kind of the contemporary equivalent of kind of having a pager in your movie character.
Right, okay. Christy Moore, Knock stuff at the point, a pager. Okay, fair enough. Give us the Bob Dylan one. There's got to be the most famous one.
Go on.
Well, isn't something to do like Judas or something like that?
When that's
by the way, it didn't happen where they said it happened and all the rest of it.
It didn't happen at the Royal Albert Hall.
In Manchester or something like that.
The Free Trade Hall in Manchester.
I don't believe you was this thing. I just like, feck off, I'll do what I like kind of thing.
Exactly. Now, I have an even better one. Well, I think it's even better. You might disagree, but you are a big Bob Dylan head, so perhaps I'd get away with it. This is 2 years. What year was the Judas? 66?
About 66, yeah.
65, 66. This is 64. It's a Halloween 1964. This is the Philharmonic Hall, and this has got an official release thanks to the Bootleg series. I have it in front of me. It's a volume, well, whatever it is. Anyway, this is him playing I Don't Believe You again, curiously enough, and he forgets the words. Because Dave, what could be worse? I've seen it happen at gigs. People, perhaps their most famous song, they get lost in it, or they just kind of are at home.
Thinking,
did I leave that pot steeping so perhaps I don't have to scrub so hard when I get home? Whatever rock stars think of, and they forget the words. Bob Dylan forgets the words here. He tries to start it, and he stops. Then he goes, oh, I'll give you the second verse, and then he stops, and then he asks for help. It's brilliant.
Wait a minute, are you talking about, is this the I Don't Believe You thing?
Yes, go
yeah,
for
okay,
it.
Fair it's brilliant. Enough. Okay, here it goes. Come on, Bob.
He's trying, Dave.
Ha 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 ha!
He'll get it eventually.
Oh God. Here's the second verse of it. Does anybody know the first verse of this song?
I can't understand.
Oh, I can't understand. I let go of my head. It's the same song, only started now. I can't understand. She let go of my hand and left me here facing the wall.
Yeah, I like that.
You gotta love it.
That's the kind of way it should be in some ways. Did you ever hear Bob Dylan's 115 Dream? I was riding on the Mayfair Flower and I thought I spotted some land. Listen to the next line. It's the best laugh you'll ever hear on radio.
That's right, and it's a mistake.
Well, it's not so much his mother walked into the studio and the two of them just started. You can hear her laughing on the track as well. Anyway, let's get back to something else here.
Back to live records, back to live recordings.
What about the Sex Pistols?
Yes, now who better than Johnny Rotten to forget the words? This is... this is great. There are so many clips I could use of the Sex Pistols. Most of them are a bit too sweary for this hour of the day. This is him doing EMI, I believe, and forgetting the words way back when in, well, not way back when, it was 2006 or 2007, one of the ones, I think, in Hammersmith. No, Brixton, I'm going to say. I'm going to say it was Brixton. You're looking, Dave, like you don't have it.
Yes, let's go. I'm trying to find it. Okay, fair enough. Right, here goes. Forget the words. I don't think it'll really matter.
Wait.
Yeah, right, okay. I'll tell you.
And by the way, the words are now EMI, EMI, and it's brilliant. It's a great DVD, actually. You should watch it.
All right.
There's great extras on that, by the way. The guy to London.
One of the most famous ones in terms of an Irish band.
There's been a lot of talk about this next song. Maybe too much talk. This song is not a rebel song. This song is Someday, Bloody Someday.
Well,
it's a weird case of a live or a mini live LP. Isn't that what I have it here somewhere?
Under a Blood Red Sky.
Yeah, which kind of went huge distance to making them. It was essentially the greatest hits of the first three albums, and that's what people wanted. And kind of, in American, amongst Irish America, that disavowal of the rebel song tradition played very well. It was a bit controversial, a bit twee perhaps seen here, and became a bit of a millstone around his neck. But it's probably the most famous introduction, I'd say, of any Irish artist to a song, certainly from that period. Were you a fan, Dave? Do you think that's a good the intro?
Yeah. Jeez, fantastic. Yeah, well, Larry comes in there and does his thing.
I mean, the Bono bit, Dave.
Oh, yeah, it's all great. That's fantastic. I love all those albums, those early ones. In fact, Under a Blood Red Sky, not Under a Blood Red Sky, what do you call it? Don't Forget About Fire. Mm. There's a few songs in that are amongst the very best that you two have ever done, like A Sort of Homecoming and that, and they often don't get what they should get.
Sort of Homecoming is one of their better
songs.
Here's
a few here. I love the Elvis Live album, where he can't stop laughing in the middle of a song. Yeah, I think a lot of people know that one too. It's infectious and possible not to at least smile when you're listening. That's true, Claire. Indeed, the best 10-minute joke that Eddie Vedder did about the point.
Oh yes,
sorry, the bad 10-minute joke terrible. That Eddie Vedder did about the point on the Pearl Jam Live at the Point album is cringeworthy.
Yeah, they did. This is the other thing, I suppose. Live albums, Pearl Jam are major sinners in this regard, and I do have a few.
Well, does Eddie do a lot of talking?
He does a lot of talking, but do you know what else they do? They always include the encore break as a track on the CD. So they press the CD, they master rudimentary mastering, and then they sell it to you. And then they have an entire track of 2 minutes of waffle or crowd noise to kind of give you the whole ambience of being there. It's authentic, man. No, it's not. It's a waste of space. But Eddie does make this joke. Eddie, like I know him. He does make this terrible joke that goes on and on and on and on. And the punchline is, I'll tell you the punchline. His punchline is, and then he asked me, what's the point? And I said, it's a place in Dublin where they have concerts.
Oh my God. Okay, moving swiftly on. Anything else?
It took 10 minutes to get there. Yeah,
we're looking at bits and pieces.
We've got to do another Bono.
Another Bono, what is it?
We got to do another Bono. I could do a whole section on Rattling Home Dave, which isn't all live, but all the funny bits are, you know, this is a song Charles Manson stole from the Beatles, we're stealing it back.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
how the
right,
album starts, isn't it?
One, yeah, yeah.
The God I Believe It isn't short of cash. Pause. Mister, that bet. Although that's not his worst line. This one is Silver and Gold. And he goes off for about a minute, and thankfully the Edge rescues him at the end. And it's called Bono.
Well,
Play the
definitely
Blues.
Definitely, you can go. I mean, most of the people go off. Which one is it?
It's called Bono hyphen Play the Blues, Dave.
Oh yeah,
I wish I was sitting where you were.
I have it. I found it. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
The song was written in a hotel room in New York City. Round about the time a friend of ours, little Stephen, was putting together a record of artists against apartheid. Song written about a man in a shanty town outside of Johannesburg. A man is sick. A looking down the barrel.
Moments
of
in time.
It certainly is. It's a great ending, though.
A man who is at the point where he is ready to take up arms against his oppressor. A man who has lost faith in the peacemakers of the West. While they argue, and while they fail to support a man like Bishop Tutu and his request for economic sanctions against South Africa. Am I bugging you? I don't mean to bug you. Okay, Edge, play the blues.
Okay, the cowboy hat and the hair.
I tell you, and the cowboy boots and the suede jacket, it was very preachy, but as you were saying there off air, yeah, the Americans ate it with a collective spoon, didn't they?
And also, like, one of the things every time I hear about, like, he mentions Bishop Tutu on Larry's Just a Minute quiz. Remember that? What kind of person would wear a tutu and your man says a bishop? Anyway, the opening sequence of Sunday Bloody Sunday still gives me goosebumps, says that one at 51552.
Didn't the Undertones beat them up at Top of the Pops because of Sunday Bloody Sunday, or was that just an urban myth?
Beat who
we should
up?
Do something on urban
really?
Myths, actually.
Do something on urban myths next week.
Rock and roll
okay,
urban myths.
Okay, give us something else. David Bowie,
this is brilliant. Now, I heard a story about this, speaking of urban myths, and then Jerry Leonard recently, who is the Irish guitar player who I'm sure you're familiar with, I'm sure you met, he's from Clontarf, I believe, who played on, what was it, the next day, the last Bowie record, and obviously got a lot of play, and everyone will have read at least one interview with Jerry Leonard subsequently. But he said, because Bowie came and recorded the live DVD and album and all that malarkey in The Point, as was then in 2003 on the reality tour, his last tour, I believe. And I have the quote from Jerry here. David asked me for something Irish he could say to the crowd in The Point. My brother-in-law suggested Chucky Arlaw. We warned David how naughty this might be, but he loved that. So it was the first thing he said, and the crowd went mental. So this is the end. I think he came out and he did Rebel Rebel, and this is you'll hear the end of Rebel Rebel, and then he says in his own way, Chucky Arlaw. That's how he says it.
She's not so boy or girl. Your hair's all right. Hey, baby, let's stay out tonight. Hey, baby, let's stay out tonight. Hey, baby, let's stay out tonight. Thank you. Chucky and I.
Something like a horse.
What about Led Zeppelin? What have we got from them?
Well, this is now, when I speak to anybody about cringy live bits, this is kind of, and we mentioned Bono perhaps being a little embarrassed, or people being a little embarrassed about the Sunday Bloody Sunday intro. I think Robert Plant got a bit bored doing Stairway to Heaven in the Norma Dome throughout
really?
The 70s. This is what you call it, the song remains the same, and this is the bit. So it kind of, I think I have a little bit of the intro, but then the bit that everyone remembers, which is the laughter line. Who
okay.
Does anybody remember
this
laughter?
Is a song of hope. And it's whispered that soon, if we all call a tune, then the Bible will lead us to reason. And a new day will dawn for those who stand long
and the forests will echo with laughter. Does anybody remember laughter?
You're very cruel. Like, these are things that make the bands who they are, you know. Like, this is a gig and a gig and a gig, and you weren't there. And yeah, okay, fair enough. It's hilarious. By the way, there's one here, but like, it's funny. Get your yayas out. It seems to be the album, all right. Because I mean, like, there's one.
I was going to say the word seminal,
but I know backwards. Look, paint it black, you devil. Do you remember that? That's from that too.
And you know,
that comes in from Peter from Longford.
That was dubbed
when America
into,
believed the Stones were a dark force.
That's very true. And I think, well, there are a number of stories about that that I've read. But firstly, that was certainly cut into a later live album. I think it was called Flashpoint or something after the Steel Wheels 1990 tour, where they dubbed that in just before they played Painted Black, I believe. But someone said that they actually got someone to record that and they cut that into Get Your Yayas.
There's no text about the famous Phil Lynott one.
Well, now, this is, yeah, okay, this is, it was the 70s. That's all I'm going to say, but go on, play it. Yeah, just play it. Yeah, I don't think I can interrupt.
Yeah, okay.
Is there anybody here with any Irish in them? Is there any of the girls who'd like a little more Irish in them?
Hey! Oh, man, fellow. That's
he's 100% man, that fella. That's why they built a statue to
he's
him.
He's the pint of Guinness. He's black and he's Irish. Okay, go on. Give us someone else. Give us someone. Speaking of black, Queen.
This is embarrassing now. This is kind of... Okay, just play this. This is Queen, Milton Keynes, I think 1980, 81 maybe. And they had just released a stinker of an album, which was mildly rescued by the presence of Under Pressure with David Bowie. It was kind of their jazz funk thing. And Freddie tries to... He talked a bit too much. And I think this came out... Yeah, this came out officially after he died, so perhaps they shouldn't have included this bit. Wait, it's a little wrist.
Can we hear it? It's
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
I
just
don't know this. Okay, here it goes. This is it's called Black, is it?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Fair enough.
Most of you know that we got some new sounds out last week, and for what it's worth, we're going to do a few songs in the funk black category, whatever you call it. We just want to try out a few sounds. This is Stay in Power.
Like, don't go there, Graham, really.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, a couple of years later they played Sun City and
yes, indeed.
The funk black category, whatever you want to call it. Well, not that, Freddie. How about that?
The funk black category. Okay, Springsteen. Anything from him?
Yeah, now, the Springsteen... Okay, this is a good example because in 1986, after his mammoth global flipping Born in the USA, Lasted Forever tour, he released a 5 LP box set, which you may remember, Live 75, 85, and there's lots of contemporary kind of, you know, riffing and storytelling and stuff. But prior to the river beginning on whatever, side 8 or side 7 or whatever it is, there is a 5 minute story,
really?
Dave. There's a 5 minute story about how Bruce and his dad did not get along that well. Yeah. And then, actually, do you want to play? I cut a bit of it. Now, what I did is, because if you have this on LP, right, you can pick it up and drop the needle and drop the needle and drop the needle. And I did that this morning.
Then you can miss it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
On tape, it's a bit different.
How you
though?
Doing out there tonight? That's good. I was 17 or 18.
So he's telling the story,
man,
Dave.
Used to hate it.
He had long
I
hair.
Up to go home.
Yeah, he used to stay out, hide his hair.
And
it was traumatic, Dave.
I'd stand there in the driveway.
You realize you have to listen to this every time you play the record.
And I'd tuck my hair down on my collar. And I'd walk in. And he'd call me back to sit down with him. And the first thing he'd always ask me was, what did I think I was doing with myself?
I was about to become a rock star. Skip ahead, Bruce.
Saying that he was going and that he didn't know where it was.
This is his mate going to Vietnam. Then he gets his draft notice.
Folks. And 3 days before my physical, me and my friends went out and we stayed up all night.
He went out in the rip, Dave.
I said, I went
to he comes back
physical.
And he meets his dad in the kitchen. What's going to happen, Dave?
This is what happened.
Are you going to well up? I have something in my eye.
Take me. And he said, that's good.
5 minutes to tell that story, David.
Really? That's just bits of a jam.
That's the highlights of a 5 minute song. But then this happens. By the way, this does happen at the end of it. And the song begins.
That's one way to shut yourself up, all right? No doubt about it.
It almost rests. But the point is, if you had that on cassette, you would have to fast forward 5 minutes just to hear the river.
Right.
Yeah. How annoying would that be?
Then again, this is a five album thingy, Bob, isn't it? It's a big box.
Three tapes.
Okay,
I
whatever,
sold a lot.
All right, okay, go ahead. I mean, obviously Woodstock is the king of it all. For
go on, I know. I have to defer to you here now.
No, but I mean, there's a million things about the brown acid that are circulating too good as not.
This is the stage announcement. Yeah, I think we've two here. We've two examples. One, and this is why punk happened as far as I'm concerned. Firstly, this is the brown acid one, which is very funny. If people haven't heard it, I think they should probably cast me around.
All right.
Everybody's ground, getting comfortable now. Starting to fit just right. Sit there, look at all those people around you, get acquainted. Have a smoke.
To get back to the warning that I've received, you may take it with however many grains of salt you wish, that the brown acid that is circulating around us is not specifically too good. It's suggested that you do stay away from that. Of course, it's your own trip, so be my guest. But please be advised that there is a warning on that one, okay? Elliot from Harvard. The hitchhikers you picked up need the pills from your car. Please go to the information station right away.
There's not like a million people there. With Dave Fanning, please. Dave Fanning, come to the John's ambulance tent, please. Could Dave Fanning come to the John's ambulance tent?
This is cheating because that's stage announcements. It's not the exact same.
It's on a live album,
right,
Dave.
Okay,
it's on
okay,
the set.
Enough,
you had
okay,
that record, no doubt, and you sat around with your
record, triple album.
There you are.
Okay, let's go over something else. That's Woodstock. There's too many for us. I mean, obviously, there's the
with
no
the rain,
rain
one
no
is
rain.
Hilarious. This
no
is
no rain. Let's get rid of the rain by chanting for the rain to go away.
And that's why punk happened, people. Errant hippie nonsense.
The rain stopped.
It worked. Trying to get back in.
All right,
box.
Go on. Tell me more. Let's move from Woodstock.
Well, do you want Neil Young? We skip ahead to Neil Young because I brought in Neil Young. This is
they
just
got it now, Robbie. That's from The Last Waltz.
This. What do I have? Oh yeah, Live Rust. I have Live Rust here in front of me. This is the end of Cortez the Killer, which of course is a tremendously powerful piece about the wreckage of Latin America thanks to Spanish colonialism, etc., etc. And how
just Hernan, watch what you say. Hernan, it's the best song he's ever done. Go on.
How Hernan Cortez was a killer. That's basically what he says. But then he says this after it on the live record. And I would have cut this out, Dave. Do you remember what it is?
I haven't a clue. Not from Live
Play
Rust.
It, so.
Okay.
Go for
sorry.
It.
What is this? Is this the Plenty Bad Man?
Well,
thing,
now you've just ruined
Dave.
It, Dave.
Oh, sorry,
by telling
oh,
us what he said.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
It's no
what
surprise
a killer. Yeah. Oh, Cinnamon Girl.
Yes, it is, Dave. Yes, it's Cinnamon
I didn't
Girl.
That
well
was
done.
Next.
Yes, yes,
all right. Yes. Okay. Give us some
Plenty
more.
Plenty Bad Man. Did he have to say that? Should
no,
he not have cut it out?
He
I think
didn't.
He should have cut it out. Anyway, Lou Reed, Take No Prisoners. Do you want to play that in the background? Actually, this is kind of the start of Take No Prisoners. Have you got that? The
Lou Reed, Take No Prisoners. I don't know if I do. Just keep talking.
That's
though,
all right. No, it's
it.
Just, it's an album that came with the sticker, which I have here in front of me. Is it a removable sticker? It is a removable sticker.
Yeah.
Which says this album is offensive, and it is kind of. It's offensive because I paid money for it, and I think I've made the whole way through once, perhaps. But he misquotes Yeats because he's quite pretentious as our Lou. But also, there's so much band. There's about 3 minutes of just waffle and background ambient noise of the crowd in the club, and it's like okay. Fine the first time, second time. Yeah,
Lou
time,
was a bit of an idiot, though, wasn't he, really, in his own way? Much as I liked a lot of his music.
What's the great Lou Reed axiom? There are two types of people in the world, people who like Lou Reed and
the people who've met him.
People who've met him, there you are. People who've listened to Live Take No Prisoners. Anyway, that's one. Motorhead, The Road Crew, have you got that there? This is why, this album went to number one, actually, by the way, No Sleep Till Hammersmith. And Lemmy
so
has
is
a song.
So Lemmy on stage? Hold on,
well,
it's
Lemmy brings out one of the roadies, which is not
okay.
A good idea.
All right, okay.
And you might want to move back from the radio.
Let's do it for the road crew.
God, it's just Motorhead on the road, isn't it, really?
That and of course they play We Are The Road Crew after. That album went to number one, though, in the United Kingdom. And they had an empire. Right, so that's, okay. That's all you need to know.
That's the road crew. Okay,
I do love Lemmy, though. I do love Lemmy. Is there a little bit of Queen caterwauling there if you have it? Just because there's every Queen album is marked by Freddie Mercury doing sing songs with the crowd. Or you can go with Iron Maiden Running Free, whichever you prefer.
It'll have to be Iron Maiden.
Running Free. This is one of Iron Maiden's shortest songs. Live After Death is probably one of the ultimate rock live double albums, all that sort of good stuff. And they finished their set in LA with this. It's 8 and a bit minutes long. 2 minutes and 20 seconds into the song, this happens. I'm running free, yeah. I'm running free.
Alright. Let me see those hands in the air. Hey, come on. Hey! Everybody! I said everybody! Everybody in this place, come on! Let me see those people up there with their hands in the air. Come on, everybody on their feet, come on, let's see everybody!
Off a bit.
He does that thing of dividing the crowd. You're louder than this crowd. That's like you're at a 4-year-old's party. Give me a break.
Let me tell you how we're going to do it, all right? How
are you going to
do it, Bruce?
Oh, no.
We're going to chop the audience in two. Chop the audience in two, Dave. And a line down here, all right? We're going to have all the people on the right-hand side around these balconies, right? And all the people on the floor on the right-hand side around now. I cut between this bit.
Thank God for that.
He's still going on. Here we go. Sing what I sing. All right, you do this at home. Sing it! All right, now left hand side. We're going to figure this one out. All right, let's try everybody now. Everybody has a long picture in there. Come on, let me hear. Why divide the crowd if you're going to try everybody? This is going on. That's the right hand side. They're not very good, Dave. You got your chance now. You got your chance now, left-hand side. You got your chance to go in for the kill now, left-hand side. This is on a record, by the way. I'm running free, yeah! All right, now we're going to try everybody, all right? You can kill it,
dude. Dear, oh dear, oh dear. There's a very funny video on YouTube of Eddie Vedder making the balls of sleepless nights on stage with the real king of Irish rock, Glenn Hansard. Speaking of which, in terms of live albums, you can't look beyond the frame set list of Rob. We're not looking at live albums as such, though.
Yeah, we're looking at dodgy bits or funny bits. And speaking of the frames, by the way, Dave Fanning, the frames took the main stage at Finsbury Park in 1995 for the 6th ever FLA at 11:45 a.m. They were followed by the Big Geraniums. They were followed by Boyzone. They were followed by Brian Kennedy. And Brian Kennedy was followed by you, Dave Fanning, because you were introducing one of the greatest humans ever to have lived.
Really?
And I think we should play it. This is my favourite bit of a live album ever. I believe it begins with a K. Have you found it?
All right, yeah, here it is. Hold on.
All right, let's do this. It's very cold, I know that, but it's not going to rain. Two words to warm the cockles of your hearts and hopefully some other parts as well. The first is Kirsty. The second is Nicole.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Kind of peyote cookies was all that day. When is that?
1995. Do you remember it? Do you have any memories?
No, I did the FLA 6 or 7 years in a row, but I don't remember that at all. No.
To warm the cockles of your heart and maybe other parts as well? I think you should play it again, Dave.
No.
I think you should play it again.
No.
Dave is also on the new Frames album, by the way. Or not the new Frames, the new Blades.
The Blades, that's
live
right,
album.
Yeah. Well, that takes a bit of time to get started, but I am on that all right somewhere along the way. In fact, yes, indeed. Where is it? There it is there.
Do you want to play the Blades now?
Yeah, sure. Actually, they cut a little bit of this out. This was last year at the Olympia.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the Olympia.
It wasn't this year. Yeah, it was about a year ago.
Yeah, well, it was last year. It's 2015 now, Dave.
Yeah.
The years they fly in, what?
2013.
This was.
Good evening, everybody. This is the salubrious surroundings of the Olympia Theatre in Dublin, which is quite right, a quarter of a century later, to welcome the band from Raytown in Dublin. Please welcome, from Dublin, Ireland, The Blades!
Okay, that's enough of that.
Could you go any closer to the microphone?
Sweetie, goodbye.
Goodbye, Dave.